Amen. In high school, one of the things I did in sports was track. And I remember when I did track, we used to not only run in races we would run in, but we would watch the other races other people would run in. And as they would run, sometimes you would watch, especially when they'd go all the way around the track or all the way around the track a couple of times, you would watch these guys running, thinking that they were going to run in that race, and every so often you'd see someone drop out. You know, you'd have a guy over here quit, and then someone quit here, and then someone quit there, and all along the race you'd see people drop out. I remember dropping out a couple of times. I did the stupid thing that I never should have done. I decided one day I was going to run with the cross-country runners. Now, I knew that when I'd run around the track, you know, if you stop, you wouldn't have far to get back to from where you started. But you run with the cross-country guys, and they go for miles. And if you quit somewhere in the middle, you're already way out there. You still got to get back. Those guys are nuts. And so I never ran with them again. I just wasn't for me. These little legs, long distance, just didn't work. You know, in life, sometimes we see the same thing. We go along in life, and every so often we look out and we see people quitting. We see people giving up. And there's all different ways to give up and quit. Yeah, some people just take a gun sometimes, they shoot themselves, or they take medicine and they just give up on life. Other people decide they're just going to quit. Maybe they're going to go out and find drugs, or they're going to find alcohol or something. They're just gone. Other people kind of go into their own little world. You know, they're in their own little world. They're there. You look at them, but they're really, there's nobody home. Other people, they're kind of still doing things. They're still going through all the motions. They're still going to work, they're still going to church, they're still doing things, but they've quit inside. They've just quit inside. There's just nothing left. They're just waiting for the time when God says it's their time, and they're sometimes even hoping it'll come soon because they've quit. And we see it happen with Christians. We see Christians all along the road, they just quit. And you know what? We're not even living in very difficult times. I mean, life is tough. But the times we're living in, as tough as they are, they're not as tough as some other times that have been far worse than the times we're living in now. But we see over and over people quitting. And in the Bible represents the Christian life as a race. In fact, the race it represents more than anything else is that long-distance race with the cross-country runners. It's not a short thing, it's not a quick thing, it's a long thing. Over and over, the Bible just equates living the Christian life as being in a race. And basically what it tells us is no matter what happens in our life, we should not quit. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in the book of Proverbs. It says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he just keeps getting back up. Just keeps getting back up. He sometimes feels like quitting, sometimes gets knocked off his feet, but he just keeps getting back up. Hebrews chapter 12 begins with the word therefore. And it begins with that word because it wants us to look back on Hebrews chapter 11. And we did that a couple of months ago. We went through Hebrews chapter 11, person by person, verse by verse, and we saw these great men and women who lived for God. There was Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents and Moses and Rahab, and so many others. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. So many people that lived for God. Sometimes failed, sometimes messed up, but they lived a life of faith. And as we look at this great chapter of the heroes of faith, we come to chapter 12, and it says, therefore, based on what the writer has just told us about all these men and all these women who lived that life for God, there are some things we ought to do, some things we ought to know. And he relates it to a race. So I want us to notice a few things in this passage, and the first is the encouragement for the runner. There's an encouragement here for the runner, for you and I as we live this Christian life. It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, as we live this Christian life, as we run this race, realize we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The word here, surrounded, means to be placed around. It's kind of like we are in an amphitheater, we're in a football stadium, a baseball stadium, and in the audience, in the bleachers, in all the places where everybody can sit, we have these great men and women of faith in chapter 11. Abel, who worshiped God by faith, Enoch, who walked with God, Noah, who built an ark, Abraham, who went where God told him, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, who looked beyond their death. Moses' parents, who chose God over government. Moses, who chose God over the world. So many others. Be kind of like playing a baseball game and sitting in the bleachers is Babe Ruth. Or we're playing a football game and sitting in the bleachers is Johnny Unitas. Or Walter Payton. Or we're watching a race. In fact, we're racing. And sitting watching us race is Mario Andretti or Richard Petty or Al Unser or one of the other great racers. And we're down there in the field. We're down there on the field living this Christian life. Living for God, walking with God. Now, the idea here is not that as we live our lives, we have all these great men and women of faith who are kind of sitting in heaven, looking down from heaven and watching you. Every so often, we will have someone that we really care about die. And they know the Lord and they go to heaven and someone will turn to us and say, well, don't worry, they're watching you from heaven. No, they're not. You know, when I get to heaven, the very last thing I ever want to do is to look back on this earth. I have no desire to do that. See all the sinfulness, all the ugliness, all the rotten stuff that happens in this world. When I get to heaven, everything's staying there, including my eyes. There's no one in heaven looking down from heaven watching at what's going on in this world. But these great men and women of faith are the example. They are the witnesses who've gone before us. It's kind of like God saying to us, look, you're living your life, and I want you to know there are some people who've gone before you who've done it. They've lived it. Some of them did great and awesome things and built things like an ark. Some of them did great and awesome things, but we'll never know what they did, because when their life ended, they were being sawed in two, and heads were being chopped off, and bodies were being murdered, martyred. But they lived the way they ought to live. They are the example for us. They are the ones that as we live our life, as we follow God, they are the ones that we can point to and say, look, they didn't give up. They didn't quit. Every so often we go around in life and we see people who are, they've quit. And one of the reasons they've quit is they've looked around in life and life's been difficult and life's been tough and maybe they've had some things happen in their life, so they're walking around now and all they're doing is moping and complaining and moaning and saying, nobody has it as bad as me. My life's horrible. And everybody else, they have it so much better than me. My life is rotten. And why God do this to me? So they quit. And they give up.
Now, when we look back on Hebrews chapter 11, we see people who live for God and live the way that God wanted them to live, and they did it right to the very end. And they didn't quit. They did it by trusting God. And because they trust God, we can look back and say, if they did it, we can do it. When we say, I can't take it anymore, or I've had enough, or I can't go on, we are to look back at these people. We are to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and look at these lives. Can you imagine being like Joseph? Think about it. When you were growing up, you probably had brothers and sisters if you weren't the only one. And you probably, every once in a while, had fights and different things going on in your lives. I told my son the other day, I forget what we were looking at, but I said, have you ever had lead stuck in you? And he said, no, Dad. I said, well, I did. Me and my brother Dave got in a fight one time, and he threw a pencil at me, and it stuck. So I had to go to the doctors and get it cut out. But I did things, too. I mean, you know, that's what brothers and sisters, I mean, we sometimes do things to each other that we shouldn't do. But could you imagine being sold by your brothers into slavery? Being thrown in a well? And then being sold into slavery? Going back and being told that to your father that you're dead, and then you're not only been sold into slavery, you're now living in a foreign country, then someone comes and lies about you and says you did an awful thing and you're thrown in jail? And then you meet some people in there that you form a really good relationship with, and all you ask them is to remember you when they get out, and they get out and they forget you. I bet every person here this morning might have a reason in your life to say, you know what, I've had enough, I don't care anymore, I'm done with God. But I want you to know, whatever that thing is, whatever your reasons are for quitting, they're not good enough. They're not appropriate reasons. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the encouragement for each of us is that there are people who've gone on before us and they did it the way that you should do it and they did not quit. But if we're going to run this race, we not only have to look back to them for encouragement, we need to secondly look at the preparation that is needed in running a race. Notice again verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the race that so easily entangles. If we're going to run this Christian life, live this life the way God wants to live it, there are two things we need to do if we're going to run this race. The first is we have to throw off everything that hinders. Throw off means to get rid of. It means to put it off. A hinder is a weight. It's something that impedes you from running. It's a hindrance, as we see in our passage. It prevents you from running. When I ran track, before we would run, because it would be early spring, we would wear sweatpants and sweatshirts. And it seemed like they always got sweatpants and sweatshirts that were either large or extra large to make sure they would fit everybody. I want you to know they were not made for running. So once it was our time to run, we would take those sweat clothes and we would take them off so we could run in our race. If we had left them on, they would have hindered us. We would have been able to run, but we would have a hard time running as fast as we could run, and it would slow us down. So the Christian life is related to a race, and he says, look, as you live this Christian life, as you run this race, one of the first things you got to do is you got to throw off things that will hinder you in running the race. I think we need to relate this to two things in the Christian life. And the first is living and serving Christ. God has called us to live for Christ and serve Christ. And the second would be growing to maturity. We live for Christ, and in living for Christ, we serve Christ. And then secondly, we are to grow in our relationship with Christ so that we become a mature believer. Notice he says, throw off everything that hinders. He's not necessarily talking about something that is sinful. He's not necessarily talking about something that in itself is wrong. But it is something that diverts our attention or saps our energy from doing the things of God. The question is not always what is wrong with it, but the question is, will it slow me down in the race? Sweatsuits are fine for warming up, but they're not fine for running. There are things in life that in and of themselves might be okay. But are they keeping you from living for God? Are they keeping you from serving God? Are they keeping you from growing in your relationship with Christ? Who here has been saved for at least 10 years? At least 10 years. All right. How about 5 years or more? Okay. How many 20 years or more? Few of you. Let me ask you something. Are there people passing you out? I mean, look at your life. Are there people passing you out? Christian life is a race. So if you look at your life and you look at the lives of other Christians who are maybe younger than you, spiritually, I mean, are they passing you out? You're looking at your relationship with Christ and you're here, but they're way up here. You're looking at your life, the way that you live for Christ, and you look at them and say, they're doing better than you are. You look at your life and you say, they're serving God more than you are. Are there people passing you out? If you look at your life now, after all the years have you been saved, what are you doing with it? Can you say that you read your Bible more than you used to read your Bible and you get more out of it when you do read it? Can you say that you've learned to what it really means to pray? I mean, you know, before you used to pray, but now you've been a Christian for a while, so man, now you know what it means to talk with God. As you look at your Christian life, are you just warming a chair? I mean, when you got saved, you were here, so each year you should be growing. Do you see that growth happening, or is there something in your life that's holding you back? Is there something in your life that's keeping you from moving forward? Is it bothering you? Is where you're at right now as a Christian, does it bother you? Do you say you should be further along and you're not? Does that bother you? What keeps you from coming to worship on a regular basis? If someone were to look at your life, can they say that, man, you would fit in really good in Hebrews chapter 11? Or if we were writing Hebrews chapter 11, we'd skip over you and we'd go to the next person. Throw off everything that hinders. And then notice he says, throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles. So in the first, we're not necessarily talking about sin. It's just something that's hindrous from running. Now we're talking about sin, the kind of sin that easily entangles us. The word entangle means to control something tightly. Yesterday I was watching about the Secret Service. Secret Service is the agency that is charged with protecting the president. They're also charged with protecting our money. And they do some amazing things. But they were talking about a while back when a hand grenade was thrown at President Bush when he was in a foreign country. And the only reason this hand grenade didn't go off is because the guy who had it had tightly wrapped some cloth around it so that he can hide it. And when he threw it, the cloth was so tightly wrapped around it, it prevented the pin from going out, so the hand grenade never went off. The idea of this world is that we need to throw off that sin that so easily entangles us. And I think primarily in this verse, it's talking about lack of faith, lack of trust in God. But I think secondarily, the sin that so easily entangles each of us may be different for each of us. In other words, in your life, maybe the problem you deal with is worry. And you're just afraid of everything. Maybe the sin that you deal with is gossip. And you just have a hard time keeping your mouth shut. Maybe the sin that you deal with is pride. And it keeps you from doing what God wants you to do. And having the right heart that you need to have. And maybe your pride is keeping you from repenting of some sin in your life. Maybe it's wrong priorities. You just have a problem getting your priorities right. But there's sin in your life and it's got you all entangled. It's gotten you all wrapped up so that if you had to run for your life, man, you'd fall right on your face. If we're going to run this Christian life, we need to get rid of those things that hinder our life, and we need to get rid of the sin that has us entangled. And thirdly, we need to have the right attitude. Notice the attitude of the runner. He's looking back to Hebrews 11, looking at the examples. He's getting rid of things that hinder him. He's getting rid of that sin that he's entangled in. Then notice at the end of verse 1, it says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Perseverance simply means the ability to endure. It's the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. To stand your ground, to survive, to remain, to persevere. It's that attitude that says, no matter what happens in my life, I refuse to quit. I will not give up. It's the attitude that says that even though I've been knocked down, I'm getting back up. Notice here we have it. He says, the race that is marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We're in a race, or this Christian life is related to a race. And he says here that the course has been marked out for us. The Bible makes clear in many passages that the course that's marked out for us is marked out by God. God has a desire for your life and my life, and He marks a course out for us. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are saved by grace, and then it says once we are saved, then we are to perform, we are to do, we are to live the works that God has prepared for us in advance. When you come to Jesus, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, the idea is not, okay, great, I'm on my way to heaven, now I can go die. I'm saved now, I can go die, because I know I'll go to heaven. I can quit now, because all that really matters is I'm going to heaven, and I got that settled, so man, I'm good, I'm done. God has marked out a race for us, and He tells us that He doesn't want us to quit that race. He tells us that He wants to finish it. In Colossians 1, verse 28 and 29, He tells us that part of that race is maturity. That my job is to work in your lives to bring you to maturity. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us that there are things, as I already mentioned, services, works, that God wants us to complete, to finish, before we go to heaven. So God has marked out a race, and he says as we carry out this race, the one he has marked out for us, we need to make sure we do it with perseverance. And then I want you to notice, not only has the beginning of this race began with looking back at some human examples, some people who have lived the way they ought to live, but it also looks to another as an example. And I want you to notice that in verse 2 and 3. It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand," or the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when I used to run races, we would see this ribbon that would be tied on the end. And whenever we ran, our professors, our teachers, our coach would say to us, "Whatever you do, don't look back. Don't look back at the other runners to see how close they are to you, or you might trip over your feet. Whatever you do, don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Because again, you might trip over your feet." What you got to do is you got to put blinders on. And I've heard him tell me so many times, he says, put blinders on. And what you want to do is you want to just focus on the ribbon. Just focus on that ribbon and run as fast as you can. Well, in this Christian life, we're told to focus on Christ. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Think about Christ. Don't let our eyes get distracted with a whole bunch of other things, but focus on Christ. He is the supreme example of running this race. What did he do? Well, notice he's the author and perfecter of our faith. The author means originator, founder, initiator. In other words, you could not even have faith if Christ didn't give you the ability to have faith. The Bible says that when Christ was raised up, all men would be drawn to him. You can't come to God unless God draws you. Not only is the originator and the founder of our faith, but he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who brings it to completion. He's the one who's at work in your life. And here's the thing. He finished the race. He endured the cross, and then he went and sat at the right hand of God. He finished the race. He did it for the joy of saving you and I. He did it for the joy of saving mankind, but he finished the race. Now look at your life. Have you had to bear what Jesus did? Remember the movie we showed here, the movie you've seen in the theaters about the crucifixion of Christ? Have you had to gone through what he went through? He endured the cross. He finished the race. Notice verse 3. "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." As you live this Christian life, consider Jesus who endured such opposition from sinful men. Consider him so that what? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So that you will not quit. The opposition against him is greater than the opposition against us, and he finished. Don't lose heart. Don't quit. Don't give up. No matter what you are facing, no matter how bad it is, don't quit. Finish the race. Are you growing in your relationship with Christ? Are you serving God? Again, notice, He says, the race marked out for us. The race marked out for us. Have you ever sat down, gotten all alone, and sat down before God and asked God, asked this question of God? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? Bible says here that there is a race that is marked out for us. God has set a course for us. When He saved you for a purpose. There are some things that He wants you to do. So have you ever sat down with God and said, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to turn? Where do you want me to move forward? Where do you want me to go left? Where do you want me to go right? God, what do you want me to do? So then we can ask, are you doing the things that God wants you to do? Are you doing the things that God wants you to do? During a Monday night football game, the Chicago Bears were playing the New York Giants. Now, I won't go deep into a football illustration, but let me say Walter Payton, one of the famous runners in football, was running. And one of the announcers had just mentioned, he used to be the guy who held the record for the most yards ever run. And one of the guys mentioned that during his years of running, he ran for over 9 miles. And then the other guy said, yeah, that's true. He ran for over 9 miles, getting knocked down every 4.6 yards. Imagine that, every 4.6 yards, someone knocks you off your feet, you get back up and you go 4.6 yards more, you get knocked down, you go 4.6 yards more, you get knocked down, you run for 9 miles. If you're here today and you've quit, was the thing that caused you to quit really big enough to make you quit? If you're here this morning and you're thinking about quitting, think it through. Life is tough. And we deal with some very difficult things. But I want you to know, as we live this life, we look backwards kind of at all these great men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and the way they live their life. And then we kind of look to the end of the race. And at the end of the race, we don't see a ribbon standing there. We see Jesus. With his hands stretched out, with nail holes, having finished the race, and then sat down at the right hand of his Father. The very moment you think about quitting, at the very moment maybe even you get knocked off your feet, pick your eyes up, and in your mind, look forward to Jesus. God does not want you to quit. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You may be here this morning, either having quit or thinking about it. Maybe even no one knows because you're going through all the motions. Ask God for help. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. If you've never prayed to God, God, what would you have me to do? You know, it would be a good time to ask God. And then keep asking Him until you find what it is. God, I pray that every person who's here this morning, no matter where they're at in life, would finish the race. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us, Lord, to realize that if we quit, the impact it would have on those around us. Lord, I pray that no matter what comes, and no matter what hits us, and no matter what hurts us, because of Jesus, we would not quit. Give us that strength, Lord. The same strength that raised Jesus from the dead. I pray, Lord, we would grow. I pray we would serve you. I pray, Lord, that our lives would be different. We'd walk in victory instead of defeat. Help, Lord, our attitude and our whole demeanor to change this day, that you may be praised. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.